Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle.
BECU presents the KISW Financial Advisor. Here to talk money, please welcome Todd. I invented numbers, so I know how this stuff works. Peach.
That's right. Listen, man. We've come up with a new name for Todd.
Uh-oh.
The God of Commerce. There he is.
Wow, that's pretty epic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hail the God of Commerce! No? Is that too much?
Yeah, a little much.
A little too much. All right, fine. We'll come up with something in the middle then, Todd.
Okay.
Todd's had over 25 years of experience in the financial service industry. So, I mean, he knows his business when it comes to numbers and money and stuff. And, of course, BECU, well, he works for a great, great credit union where it does everything a bank does except make you sad when they make some financial moves that hurt you bad. Because BECU, we're all members, so we basically decisions are made for us, and it's not for profit. It's for just basically our betterment.
That's right. You own it, BJ.
I own it.
Yep.
Which is why I've decided you are the God of Commerce.
Well, you own me.
So I have the power to make that decision.
Yeah, you did.
All right, well. Todd, of course, is here to answer your questions. That's what it's all about. 206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999. Any type of question you have. And don't forget, man, when we talk about BECU, you know, if you live, work, or attend school in Washington State, guess what? You can be a BECU member. All the info at BECU.org. Let's go to David in Seattle. He's our first questioner. David, you are on the Rock.
Hey, Todd. Thanks for taking my call this morning.
Yeah, David.
Hey, so I just graduated from college 3 months ago. I'm debt-free.
Wow, awesome. That's amazing.
And I'm making not great money, but okay. I'm making about $37,000 a year right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm have a deal with my parents to live at home, pay about $250 a month in room and board.
That's a fantastic deal.
Yeah.
Right? And so I'm in a great position to set myself up for the future right now. And my question is, what should I be looking at as far as investments? Some people have told me max out a Roth early.
Mm-hmm.
Other people have said, no, make the more risky moves. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, so first of all, Dave, what's your degree in? What do you do?
So I'm in public relations, basically, and I also manage a political campaign part-time.
Okay. All right. So you're just getting started out. Do you have an emergency fund?
I do. Yes, okay. I have mutual funds.
Okay. So
does he understand what you mean by an emergency fund?
So you want to have some liquid cash, David. So you want to have some money sitting in a money market or even a CD or a savings account. Just money that you can actually tap right away. If car breaks down, you lose the job, you're tired of your job, you want to move on, you want to have a little
time.
Is
that the parents, David? Are they the emergency fund? Because I'm my kid's emergency fund, that's for sure.
No, I'm independent as far as cash. So
awesome. Let's get some emergency fund there sitting. You know, at least $1,000, preferably a little bit more. Do you? How about at your workplace? Do they match any of your contributions?
They do not. No,
they do not. Okay, so I would say go to a Roth. And max out the Roth. I think it's 55, 6,000, somewhere in there. 6,000, I think, this year.
More companies with their 401k seem to be smarter and making people giving people the ability to do a Roth option. Because you're right, Todd. I think they saw that a lot of folks were like, you know what, I'm not going to do your 401k because you're not matching. So a Roth is better because most 401ks were not Roth-based.
Yeah.
But now in my company here, they actually do let you do Roth style if you want.
And that's perfect. So, David, what's going to happen is you're going to pay taxes on that money you contribute to the Roth today, which is great. You're at a pretty low income tax bracket. That money is going to grow tax-free. So when you withdraw that in 30, 40 years, you're not going to be paying any taxes on those gains. And you have time on your side. So if you can get started now on that Roth at your age, you're going to be in good shape.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, and within that Roth, you want to be pretty aggressive. You know, you're going to have options for stocks and bonds, and so you can ask around or ask the fund company. But there's a total market funds. There's a lot of things you can do. You're going to want to be pretty aggressive from the stock market perspective at your age. And don't worry about the ups and downs. It's going to go down and it's going to go up, but long term you'll be just fine.
And I appreciate the call, David. David brought up something because he was getting information from some people he knew.
Yeah,
and that happens to all of us as we are starting out in our life. Hey, even the middle of our life, people want to give us financial advice. Like they told him, do some more risky stuff, and, Todd, what do you tell people when they're starting out? Like, who should they listen to? Because everybody gives you advice mm-hmm. when it comes to money. And it's like it's always that your uncle that has no money, but tells you how you should invest your money.
Yeah.
What do you tell people? Where can they go to be smart about what they should do with their money? Because they're getting a lot of info.
Yeah, that's a tough one, BJ. I mean, you really have to have somebody that you trust, that you know. Knows what they're doing and has done it before, has made maybe mistakes in the past or, and when you say risky, what does that mean, right? The stock market, some people would say that is risky. Well, over the long term, it's really not, right? But if you do penny stocks, these are, stocks that sell for 5 cents or whatever, yeah, that is very risky because the likelihood that they're going to be around in a year or two is not very good.
My experience was that I had a lot of people coming at me. My wife would send a lot of people my way. They were shady. They would say you get 100 to 200, 300% return. And then I finally went to somebody. I was fortunate enough to be friends with a person who used to be a venture capitalist for Vulcan. This guy is a brilliant guy, has a ton of money. I went to him, and he was the only one who ever said, BJ, I can't give you advice. It's not responsible. I'm not a professional advice giver when it comes to finances. I go, but you used to be a venture capitalist, and you have all this money, so you must know what you're doing. And he said, anybody who's really responsible and really cares will never tell you what to do with your money. Mm-hmm. Because if all of a sudden you lose it, oh, my God. He goes, I would feel horrible.
Right.
If he said, go to a professional. And, that's because so many people want to be experts who really are not experts. They're not. Mm-hmm. That's not their job. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times if you have a 401k or, within that, the fund company will have folks you can talk to as well. And so reach out to them and hopefully they're not putting you into, high cost funds and that type of thing. And
does BECU have anybody like that? If you like BECU as a credit union and you like what they do with their money, at least that's somebody you trust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
All right. And so, if they asked for the God of Commerce, is that who they should ask for?
We'll get them hooked up to the God of Commerce.
The God of Commerce. 206-421 Rock. Text us at 77999. Let's go to Jerome and Everett. Jerome, you're on with Todd from BECU.org. Go ahead.
Hey, Todd. There's all these talks that the housing market's going to crash mm-hmm. soon. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if I'm a homeowner. Yeah. My house has pretty much doubled since I bought it in 2010. Is it a good idea to sell my house now, put the money in the bank, rent first, and then buy once the market goes down again?
Well, the problem is, Jerome, like with the stock market, we can't time the housing market. I mean, we could go up from here or we could go down from here. We don't know. I mean, I think from a house, the way I would look at it is you need a place to live. It's a long-term proposition. Unless you have a reason to sell and move, maybe it's a job relocation or, maybe you need more space for a family. Those are reasons why I guess you would sell. But, I bought my house in late 80s, and the realtor said, and this was everybody was moving up from California, and he thought things were going down. And that's why they wanted to get rid of this last one, whatever. Well, it didn't. It kept going up. And so we just don't know. So yeah, you could try to time the market, but you may not be successful at it.
Todd, is the smartest thing to do with your house? Is the smartest thing to do is to get a house you want to be in for a long time?
Yep.
And then pay it off as quick as possible. Is that really the best strategy you can do with a house?
Yeah, I mean, when you're talking about paying it off, certainly you have other objectives within there, retirement, other things that you need, other goals. But ultimately, you would love to own that house in retirement, right? So you don't have that payment.
It's just you save so much in interest if you can just pay that principal more, if you can pay more than the principal. Like you said, if you got everything else taken care of.
If you got everything else taken care of, absolutely. Owning it free and clear is awesome. Sometimes the less house, the better. Sometimes people think they need 4,000 or 5,000 square feet homes. Well, with that comes more utilities, more roof repairs, siding. Everything's
taxes.
More expensive. Taxes.
Yeah.
So everything is expensive, more expensive the bigger you get. But if you can find the house that you can live in for the next 20, 30, 40 years, I'm not saying everybody can do that, but you're going to be in better shape, and you're not going to be paying those costs when you sell and buy again, right?
Yeah, and then you can stay in it for the long game, because then, like everything else, sure, the housing market dips, but then it goes up again.
Yep.
And on average, you keep a house for 30 years, and if you can pay it off quick, you're probably going to do okay if you want to get rid of it then.
Right.
We have an appreciation text via 77999. One person says, hey, tell Todd thanks for me. I called in a couple months ago about raising my credit. He gave me advice, and I'm 1 point away from where I want to be.
Awesome. Wow, nice. Todd, what's a good credit score? Like a score that, you can be happy with? Because I don't even know.
Mm-hmm. So it maxes out 500? On the FICO at 850. But and this is kind of a moving target, BJ, because your A credit, when things are really good, they'll say, okay, you need a 760 to get A credit. These are parameters, right? Every lender is going to make their own. But I'd say if you can get over that 760 to 780, you're in good shape from an A credit, and you're going to get the best deals out there.
And that's what it is that you will get the best interest rates with a high.
It doesn't matter if I have 849 or 805, I'm going to get the best deal out there.
Okay, and that's the difference. You can get loans, but if you're under the 760, you're just going to pay more.
And that's a ballpark, right? Because it's up to every lender to make that decision, right?
Damn it. All right.
But okay. I'd say if I can get to 750 for the folks first starting out, if you can get to that 720-ish, that's a good target, because you don't have a lot of credit history, so it takes a while to get
there. Yeah, it's a hard thing, because I thought just paying off a credit card, like you said, Todd, just get a credit card, start paying that off, still wasn't enough to get Joey a loan on his car loan at a decent price.
Yeah.
I had to co-sign, and hopefully now here's what we're doing. This is a racket, but I'm paying interest on a car that we could have paid cash for, but we're doing the interest thing so that he can build up his credit so he can get a better credit rate.
There's ways around that.
How do you do that?
Because you could do what we call a shared secure loan. So you just put $500, let's say, into a savings account. You take a loan out for $500.
Oh, yeah.
And that gets reported on the bureaus as an installment loan.
Yeah.
Make it happen, BJ.
There's ways around it.
Or make your son pay for the car himself.
Right? What's that called again, Todd?
We call it a shared secured loan, but it's basically a loan. You take out a $500 loan. Typically, you would say it's unsecured, but it's secured because you're going to put $500 in that savings account, and then you're going to pay whatever, $12, $15 a month. Interest rate's going to be very, very low, but it's going to have a positive reporting on your bureaus.
And so, if I do that for Sarah, because I haven't, that'll put her up to, if she's got no problems in her life, that'll put her in the 720.
It'll help. It'll take a little time because longevity and type of credit are out there. But it's a start. So
all right, we got to do a shared secure loan.
Shared secure loan.
That's not a bad thing for parents to think about with their kids, because you, here I am doing what I'm doing. I should have asked you before.
Damn it, Todd!
But the credit card is good. So that's a good start if you can get one of those out there, get some positive behavior, pay that paid off every month.
No interest.
Yeah.
Todd from BECU, if you didn't get a chance to call in, no worries. Or if we didn't get to you, you can always email Todd. Just go to KISW.com, scroll down, and you'll see a picture of Todd's smiling face. Click on that banner. Todd will answer whatever questions he can. Plus, that also takes you to a page of great free resources that answer a lot of your questions already and will give you a lot of great tools for you to do what you need to do to manage your money. And Todd, as usual, great seeing you, buddy.
Likewise, BJ. Thank you.
99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle. Got to give a quick shout out to my buddy Aaron. My buddy Aaron had a tough day yesterday.
What did he do?
Well, I don't want to go into it, but it's just a tough day for him yesterday. He was going through some life stuff.
Was he spending time with you?
I feel like that's the highlight of everybody's life. Okay, let's be honest.
But, shout out to Aaron.
He's a big listener of the show, and Aaron, great, great dude, and so former military, and had a tough day yesterday, and I know what it's like. You're fighting, and every once in a while, it seems like the good fight is, he's like, man, is life kicking my ass today?
Yeah.
But you know what? Love the dude, and just keep your head up, my brother. You got a lot of people that love you, and you know what? Everything passes, including all the good stuff. Like, the good moments pass, and the bad moments pass, too. Just stay in the game, man. Yeah.
Much love.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks, buddy.
Not to you, Taryn.
Oh,
yeah.
All right.
Talking about Aaron here, dude.
So we got this.
Be so selfish.
Yeah, I know.
This isn't about you. It's about Aaron.
You're right. I forgot it's about Aaron. Got a British grandfather who was the guest of honor at his own wake as a life-size cardboard cutout. 82-year-old Ray Sims was the guest of honor at his own celebration of life, had the cardboard cutout of him holding a pint and smiling, and that whole thing sat amongst family and friends. That's cool. I hadn't thought about getting like a big cutout and letting the guest, or I should say the person that passed away, be there.
I had the picture. I got to show it to you because it's such a great, it's a great cardboard cutout. I mean, who wouldn't want this in this situation?
Oh, dude, that looks fantastic.
Right? Big smile on Pops' face. He's got the pint, and it's almost finished, so that's perfect.
It looks really good, that cardboard cutout. He looks like he's there.
Looks like he's about to snap. Like, give me another drink. I'm almost done with this one.
Yeah, he's got a nice smile on his face, looking very jovial. And, you know, when you are at a funeral, or I like to call this a celebration of life, people are going to be sad, but, man, I want it to be festive.
Okay, you're going to have a cardboard cutout. What kind of pose are you going to be in? Are you going to be doing the Star Wars Vulcan thing?
First of all, that is not Star Wars. But I could either. I think one hand Vulcan, the other hand Spider-Man with the web shooter. Yeah, how about that?
That's kind of cool, actually.
Would I be looking cute if I did that?
Yeah, it'd be kind of neat, actually.
All right, Vicky's smiling, so she approves.
I'm thinking you also have to wear like a Spider-Man outfit and the Spock ears.
Okay.
I'm down.
I want to have mine with devil horns. And then, like, the bobbly head kind of cardboard cutouts where you can kind of put a little spring on the head so it looks like I'm just, like, jamming with
everybody. Cool.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. Maybe you can give me some hair so I can finally really headbang with hair.
We'll give you a mullet, buddy.
Oh, my God. It will have a fan going so the hair is just kind of
flying
around.
Like Beyonce.
Well, this is becoming elaborate.
Yes.
I mean, all it took for me was just to do a couple of poses with my hands, but we got to get a whole full-on stage
show for you. Slayer is playing at my funeral.
Yeah, okay.
Slayer!
Yeah. South of Heaven.
Who's in charge of the lights? Like. Someone's got to get lights. And the rigging and all that.
Is Rev's cutout going to be in the bathroom? You open up the stall and there's Rev. Thumbs up.
That's actually really good. Yeah, now I want that.
Okay. Yeah, him on the throne would be fantastic.
Danny, you could have his, and like when you walk by, it has like a sensor, and then like little water drops come out of the eyes.
Aww. But then I'll also be posing with a piece of pizza, like going into my mouth.
Yes.
Oh, good call.
And then I'll be crying.
You could even have like a little scent of pizza.
Yeah. Should we get good pizza for him this time?
Yeah, we'll put pepperoni and pineapple.
Yeah,
nice.
Perfect.
Gosh. Yeah, that's it. Hey, you're dead. You got to accept it.
True.
It is cool, though, that someone loved you that much that they want to do that. Because he was the life of their party, if you will.
Do you have to warn everybody showing up to the funeral, though? Because that would trip me out. If you show up to a funeral and you're like there all somber and you walk into the room and there's grandpa with a pint glass, a cardboard cutout, that might trip you out.
Yeah. Okay, sure. Let everybody know, hey, grandpa's going to be joining us as a cardboard cutout. How about he was also driven to the service in the back of his son Daryl's Renault Traffic Transit van, also known as the Dazmobile.
Dazmobile.
Nice.
And his son Darren said, quote, Dad was one in a million. He was larger than life, great character, and we all wanted to give him the send-off he deserved. Ray had accompanied his son, who performs across the UK, to thousands of musical gigs over the past two decades and helped collect about $875,000 for good causes. So how about that? The father traveled with the kid while he was doing his music. No wonder they love this guy.
What a great memory, too.
Yeah.
Because I think about Jim Brewer had a great documentary. I can't remember the name of it, but I'm sure you can find it online. It's about his relationship with his father, who he had a very close relationship with.
Yeah.
And it was kind of towards his dad was, getting up there in the years and health issues. So he took his dad on a comedy tour with him, in a bus, and they did a whole documentary about it. And the relationship between the two of them was great. He unfortunately passed after that documentary came out, but I got to imagine that that's a memory that he'll never let go of.
What a great idea for Jim Brewer to do that. That's awesome.
And it's Jim Brewer more than me.
Yeah, dude, it's a really good documentary. I was already a fan of Jim Brewer, but after that, I was like, this guy's one of my favorite comedians. And it's more than just because of his comedy.
That's great. I didn't know about that documentary. I'll have to check that out. And he's also a good dude. I mean, we've had him on the show so many times, and he's been such, he's been so good to us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And his father was his whole family is material for his comedy. So, that was a cool way to be able to show some love back to his pops, who apparently was on that tour because he was like a celebrity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yesterday, we told you about Alex Trebek and having a setback in his battle with pancreatic cancer. He said he needs more chemotherapy. Here he is talking about it.
I realize that there is an end in sight for me, just as there is for everyone else. When I do pass on, One thing they will not say at my funeral is, oh, he was taken from us too soon. Hey, guys, I'm 79 years old. I've had one hell of a good life, and I've enjoyed it. And the thought of passing on doesn't frighten me. The effect it will have on my loved ones, yes, that bothers me and makes me sad. But the thought of myself moving on, hey, folks, comes with the territory.
I get that. You know something? That's exactly how I feel. I feel like I've had a great life, and I just want my kids to not be so sad. I want them to, to have a future to look forward to, and keep me in their heart and all that. But I want them to, be good when I'm gone. I want them to know they can have a good life when I'm gone.
I feel like that's part of probably why he's speaking out about this, because he knows that his family's just going to be rocked by this, and he sees the writing on the wall, as probably his family does too, and he's hoping that. Maybe being more open about being okay with the fact that he's coming towards the tail end of his life, that they could handle it a little bit better than maybe they would have if he hadn't said something like this.
Dude, it needs to be done. I got a good buddy that I used to do seminars with, and he now does a whole thing up in Canada about death. And he's written a couple of books that we don't talk about it in a way that's actually healthy and healing. And you're right, Steve. The fact that Alex is talking like this is so good for all of us, because I think we need to treat death differently. Like the dude with the cutout, it's like it's going to happen to all of us. And if you've had a good life with somebody, and somebody themselves who's passing has had a good life, you know, man, I want to see that happen for more of us. Because I've just been to a funeral, and it was horrible. it was horrible because nobody was in joy. And you're like, dude, this person had a great life. This person was great in my life. Where's the joy in celebrating what they were? Instead, it was just miserable.
Dude, some people just do not handle death well at all.
Yeah, we gotta get
weird. I remember when I went to my funeral for my grandfather, it was devastating, because he was such an important part of my life and our entire family's lives. Like, he was the guy, my mom's dad. And I'm there at the funeral and just trying to keep it together. And somebody who's like a distant member of the family sits next to me. He's like, yeah, this is awful, right? I'm like, yeah. He's like, he's like, just think though, at some point, then your dad's gonna die. And I'm just like, what the hell are you even saying to me, man?
Why would somebody throw that out there?
Oh, and it's like in your head, you're like, how do I even respond to that? Because now you got me thinking about that. Because it's just, I mean, luckily my dad's still with us, but he's battled his health issues. And I'm just looking at this guy and I'm like, do I wanna punch him? Do I wanna keep crying? Like, and then my dad overhears what happens, and then he starts yelling at the guy.
Of course you're fine.
So
now that's a great moment.
No, it's a funeral. My dad's yelling at him, telling him, leave me the F alone. Don't talk to my son ever again. And I'm just like, dad, I can handle this on my own.
Love your dad.
So now I'm mad at my dad, even though he's trying to protect me, but I'm like, I'm an adult.
Dude, those are moments I'd remind you of. Like, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
When I find out if in fact somebody lose in your life, remind you of all the great moments. Your father has created so many great talkable moments that you know what? He's never going to be gone.
No.
He's never going to be gone because of moments just like that.
Dude, the stories will live forever with my father. And it's like there's always some moment in my life that will remind me of something that he has done.
Oh,
of course, Christmas being my favorite when he beat up Santa Claus.
That's my favorite. It's not even my. I want him to be my dad because of that.
Totally.
I want him to adopt me because of that moment.
Yes.
That is so awesome.
I was just thinking in my head, like, that'd be a great recreation in film, but it got me thinking really quick. Did you hear the news about Bert Kreischer?
No, what's going on?
This is a quick little thing. A movie company has bought the rights of his story about the time that he went to Russia and hooked up with the Russian mafia, and it led to the story about him being the machine. They're turning that into a movie.
Oh, that is so awesome.
Right?
Bert Kreischer's kids are going to have so many great stories. He is the guy we're talking about. And of course, Bert's very young. But when Bert leaves this planet, no one should be shedding a tear because he's left such a legacy of fun in all of our hearts.
Yeah, you'll just miss his humor.
Yeah.
But, when I saw that, I was like, that's amazing.
I always thought that story was incredible. And, now my brain goes, why didn't somebody think of this sooner?
Right, and already his life was loosely turned into... This is the second movie that's going to be based on his life.
Yeah, Van Wilder
was loosely based on his life.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Do you think he's going to play himself, or is there going to be somebody else playing him?
I kind of want it to just be its own thing.
Right.
Personally. I'm sure he wouldn't mind probably playing himself, in the film.
It's a weird thing, because when Howard Stern did Private Parts, you just couldn't imagine somebody else playing Howard Stern.
Right,
so it's like it's weird thinking somebody else being Bert.
But with Howard Stern, the college years was like a couple of minutes in the film, and it was kind of funny that they had adult Howard Stern playing college Howard Stern.
Yeah, it was funny. Yeah.
But this whole movie would be based off of Bert being in college.
Well, they can young him up like that. Well, the Genesis or Gemini, man.
Yeah, right?
That might be like, too trippy.
Yeah, it's just like, use the CGI, young Bert.
Oh, somebody says, your dad beat up Santa? What? Please tell the story.
Yes.
Oh, usually we tell it in holiday time, but what the heck? We're getting close.
I'll do the real abbreviated version because the short version is just as great. When I was a kid, you didn't lock your doors all the time, even in Brooklyn. And sometimes family members would just pop by unannounced, and it was just kind of how it was. But it was Christmas season, playing with my toys in the living room. And a couple days before Christmas, if I remember correctly, it might even been Christmas Eve. And all of a sudden, in through the door, without even knocking, just opens the door, starts yelling, ho, 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 is Santa Claus with a sack of toys. And I was just like, Santa! Like Will Ferrell kind of, like, this is awesome. Well, my dad had no idea that my uncle Frank, who was playing Santa, was showing up, because Frank thought it would be a funny thing to do, my uncle. Dad comes flying down the stairs. I swear to God, man, I remember this. He barely touched any of the stairs. He just was like hovering down those stairs, tackled Santa, and just starts unloading on him. And all I can remember is my Uncle Frank going, Bill, Bill, it's Frank. It's your Uncle Frank. Then my dad stops for a second, but then just starts beating on him because he's like, why wouldn't you tell us ahead of time? You should call before you do this. My mom's crying because that's her brother getting beating up.
Oh,
I'm crying because at the time I think Santa Claus is going to get murdered by my father.
Yeah, that's going to put a dent in your toy requests.
And it just put a dent into the whole holidays that year. Because, it was like everyone's laughing except for Uncle Frank and my dad.
Oh.
Who now, like, kind of hate each other for the holidays.
I can understand why.
Yeah, dude. It was awesome.
Your father's the man.
I don't think Uncle Frank felt that way.
No, I get it. I mean, your father thinks the way I do. And, but he probably, from a physical standpoint, he can execute better.
He's very protective.
I would give people verbal tongue lashings. I couldn't do the physical thing. But we think the same way. Yeah, because I'm with your father. Why wouldn't you let us know? You're an idiot.
Yeah, well, dude, my dad, even to this day, if he's on the subway and someone, like, looks at him the wrong way, he will start getting into he'll try and start an altercation at like 80 years old with some 20 somethings. I'm like, Dad, one of these days,
yeah,
somebody is not going to like just pass it off as the crazy old guy,
yeah,
who's saying I can still kick your ass.
Your father's the man. Oh, your father.
Oh, he's unreal.
He is really amazing.
He's the best, though. You're right. I'll never have a story. I'll always remember him for all the great. And he's still with us. Not memorializing him. He's still with us, thankfully.
Classic. All right. This is your opportunity right now if you want to win, man. Would you like to be a winner? Well, in order to do that, you're going to have to beat Steve. Call in now, 206-421-ROCK. We're playing Beat Migs at 847.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Rock.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.